Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Truth is Out There, Voice of the People radio show. We have a great show on. Let me introduce to you my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing fabulous. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. First off, we have somebody that's running for supervisor of elections down here in Broward County. Right now, Broward County is in a flux because we just got rid of Brenda Snipes not that long ago, who actually made Broward County a laughing stock. And I know Catherine B will make sure that never happens again. Welcome to our show, Catherine. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
All right. So, what would you say to make sure I make the people confident that we won't have another Brenda Snipes at the helm here in Broward?
Well, I think the first thing to make people confident is my goal is to make sure that Broward County, when I'm the supervisor of elections, is never being covered on the news after the election's supposed to be over because it's embarrassing. I want all of our votes to be counted properly and all of them to be counted efficiently. So I promise that that will happen when I'm the supervisor of elections. I think the first thing I plan to do is to go in and go through every process and every procedure, document it, and make sure that there's no way that – look at different ways that we can improve upon it, because clearly there must be ways to improve upon what's been happening.
I'll tell you, living here in Broward County since 96, we saw a lot of strange things going on.
That's for sure.
Including our poll watchers being kicked out of different polling places when we actually saw some shenanigans happening. Thank you if you want to call it that. We need somebody that's going to be actually let all the votes count properly and not interfere with the actual process. how would
Absolutely.
You actually how would you actually make sure to expedite that we don't have situations like that?
I think that one of the things we need to look at is there are a lot of things we need to look at. We need to look at the systems that we're using, the technology that we're using. We need to look at the processes. We need to look at the poll watchers. We need to look at making sure that they're trained, and we need to make sure that they're of multiple different parties. I mean, in the perfect world, somebody who's the supervisor of elections shouldn't really even be an elected official. It should be somebody who has the talent and the skill set and is able to is sort of like, I always think of it as a fiduciary. A fiduciary is somebody who overwatches and, like, you know, like takes care of a trust or takes care of money for other people. And that's sort of my background. And I think that my goal is to become the fiduciary. I mean, it's my goal to take care and protect every single vote, regardless of whether it's Republican or Democrat or independent, and make sure that it's taken care of and effectively counted, and make sure that we can't find any holes in the system. I mean, people tell me all the time of things that they've come up against, and I think that one of my goals would be to reach out to the community and find all of the different types of scenarios people have come across. For example, other people have told me that when they go to the Department of Motor, to the DMV to register, and they register when they get their license, that sometimes they get their voter card back and it says they're a Democrat when they registered as a Republican. So clearly there's something wrong with that particular procedure and process as well. So I think that we need to look at every single process and procedure that's in place and just start from the ground up, you know, just clean it all out and start from the bottom up and figure out what needs to be done for each process as part of the whole election process.
What you just said, actually, a lot of people complaining on that. They registered as a Republican and kept back the card in the mail and says Democrat. It's even on the computer systems, when they register online, it's like that. It happens. So somebody down at 115 Andrews is doing something.
We need to make sure that it's easy for people to report this stuff, too, and that they don't feel uncomfortable reporting it. I mean, I don't think that anybody really knows exactly who to call or where, and I've heard of cases where people have called the SOE's office, and they feel like they kind of get the runaround in various topics. So I think that one of the things that we need to set up on day one would be some sort of, I don't know, you call it customer service line, where all of these things are reported and then definitely looked into so that that voter knows why something did or didn't happen the way that it is. And if there was fraud, I mean, we need to bring it out in front of everybody. I think that I was speaking to Peter Antonacci, and he said that they found 26 cases of voter fraud in one of the past elections. It must have been, I think, in the one in March, maybe. And he said, all I can do is refer it to the prosecutor's office, and they don't do anything about it. Well, I think that what I would do about it is make sure the media knows about it as well and make a big fuss about it in social media and other platforms so that everybody knows that things are happening.
Yeah, social media might be better off. The media down here is like the media in D.C. or New York. They're so left-wing, they don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
It's outrageous, you know. But the corruption in the justice system, which goes along with the corruption in the elections, is hand in hand, because Brenda Snipes should have been in jail, and she's not. And there's others that work with her, including some of the politicians in here that commit voter fraud or intimidation in some ways. Because, like, the school board, for example, the school board elections, we just had that back in 2018. The Davie mayor the Davie PD, along with the Davie mayor, Judy Paul, basically intimidated voters to vote against certain candidates that are running for the school board. And they actually intimidated the family, the children of the candidates in some cases. And that's part of the problem we had in 2018. I haven't seen it yet this time around, but we need somebody like the supervisor of elections to really crack down on particular politicians and mayors and stuff like that who initiate intimidation tactics on individuals
exactly.
at the polling booth. I know you know Tom Ward of Red Broward, Two Broward. He goes and exposes these things, and he was at the polling place yesterday, and he got yelled at again. He has a reputation, but he expected it, because there are areas that have been inconsistencies, and even to yesterday and stuff like that, in certain areas, and nothing's being done, and that's a problem. And the last 2 days, the first 2 days of the early voting here, it's been very little voting, based on what I'm hearing.
One of the problems with registering to be a voter here is you are able to do it in too many places. Mm-hmm. It should only be done in one place, at the supervisor of elections office. That would be one. It shouldn't be with the food stamps. People shouldn't be out doing it, and it shouldn't be in the library, and it shouldn't be at the DMV. You know? You can't go to many places to get your driver's license, only one place. So then when they go there, somebody has to sign a paper when they register them. So there's a record of who did it. And then you can see what's going on, and it's all done within your office.
Yeah, I think that that's a fair assessment, or at least somehow there have to be lots of controls so it's working clearly with the SOE. And you're right, maybe there are too many places. I think that there are maybe even ways that you have more voter drives but actually have real professionals at specific places and specific dates saying, this is where we're going to do it this day. Please come register with us on those particular dates. And whatever it is, we need to get out into various parts of the community to make sure that we can get as many people who are eligible to vote to be able to vote. And we also need to go ahead.
The thing is, when you go out and you go register to vote people to register, you're not supposed to coax them to vote to register as a Democrat or Republican. It's their choice. But we have seen in some cases that they are actually trying, register as a Democrat, register as a Democrat. And we've seen that over and over again in some areas. I know in Broward County, on the Republican side, we have Buck, that works with Breck and others, that have teaching sessions on people and how to actually probably register people to vote. Not to ask them which party, but actually, because you're supposed to be independent doing it. You can't be biased from one to the other.
Right.
So.
Right. The other thing we have to worry about are people that go into places like nursing homes and, quote, help people to vote. That's a huge issue, obviously, and I think that the Democrats actually are probably doing that more frequently than the Republicans. So I think that that's a big issue. We need to figure out a really good process for that so that those votes of those elderly people don't get influenced.
I know nursing homes, there are aides that come in and they go in, and I know the Democrats are doing it because a couple of forums I participated in, they actually mentioned that they will have people working in nursing homes to help individuals in the nursing home to vote. And I always ask them when that thing, help them in what way? Because it's not your decision. It's the nursing home. It's the person that's voting's decision. If you are coercing these people, you are committing a felony. And they usually kick me off the form after that.
Well, they pick them up and take them to vote also.
Yeah.
And then you go to the How would you stop duplicate voting? Because the people come in from one to the other, or one place to another place, from one state to another, the way things are going. And that's another problem. And down here in Broward, you don't have same day registering and voting. That's a good thing. But there is problems with that elsewhere. And then come and
duplicate
votes. Right, absolutely. Because there's some.
So
like what happened
I
to
moved
C-
here from Chicago.
CD18,
go ahead.
I was going to say, what happened to CD18 with Alan West? They ended up with 104% voting capacity out of 700. And he
That's
lost
amazing.
By 3,000 folks in the middle of the night. And Chicago, where you're from, Cook County is famous for that.
Yeah, they're the worst. There are a lot of dead people there that vote all the time. They always vote Democratic, especially after they die. It's a terrible problem that they have there. Like, for example, I believe that I could vote here if I wanted to on November 3rd, hop on a plane, and then go vote there. Because there's no voter ID there. There's no, like, tracking of how people move. There's no – none of those types of things. Florida and Broward is a lot better about that. But I'm sure as we get in there and really look at the systems, there are probably some issues. You know, it's really unfortunate that there's not a way, and maybe there is a way we can figure out where you can actually go through and just validate every voter and every address and make sure that they're still alive, make sure that that's still their address. I think that there are ways that we can look at to try to do that through technology and other types of, you know, even if
there is this,
comparing things to the census, 60, you know.
There are 67 counties here in Florida. 65 out of 67 have a computer system, central computerized system. Palm Beach County and their new supervisor election that they had just joined into that system. Broward, I have no clue if they actually joined up to the 67. The idea was if everybody's in the same system, we could verify all the things and everything could get done properly, and we'll get the results within a couple hours of when the polls close. And we'll have what we went through with the last time around. And we'll know in almost instantaneously. As a supervisor of election, would you join that computer system so we all have the timely results?
Right, exactly. Yes, in theory, we should have the results just a few minutes after the polls actually close if everything is working as it should be. It just seems that there seems to be lots of votes that get lost, which I don't really understand how that happens here in Broward or how they get stuffed in closets or the back of the trunks of cars. So there are
you
lots
saw,
of things.
You saw what happened. You saw what happened 2 years ago. Even Matt Gaetz was down here, and everybody was finding stuff. All the trucks coming in the middle of the night with boxes of ballots that shouldn't have been in the first place, and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know,
none of that should happen.
So it was,
even.
Yeah. You know,
there
and,
should be a
you know,
Chicago
it,
that didn't happen that much.
There should be a birth certificate. If you're mailing in your vote, one of the things that I think would be a great idea is to have your birth certificate with it and your photo ID.
Well, it's easier to attach those kinds of things today than it was a few years ago. So, I mean, because most people have some kind of, you know, phone system that does that for them. So there may be ways that we can look at tightening that up so that you have to prove who you are even more so than just doing a signature.
Everybody,
well, you can
everybody
always
has
get
to
the president
somewhere
to do a thumbprint law, and this way it takes care of several things, voting, identity theft, and
mm-hmm.
it proves who you are, and you can't be somebody else. And it's once
similar
and it's an
bank.
Essential system.
I agree with you 100%. I think thumbprinting is the way to go in the future. And that we have to figure out how to do it, and making everybody go through and re-register. I mean, that's a huge process, so you can't say I'm going to do it in 60 days or 90 days. But if we really thought it through, if I was elected by the end of the 4 years, I think that we could have it implemented so that people are voting by thumbprint. And you know what? That allows us to find easier ways for them to vote as well. For some people, you know, it's a much maybe there are electronic ways for them to vote, but I think that may be out in the future a little bit because everything has to be 100%, you know, hack-free before we can do those kinds of things.
That was the next question. Everybody on the left is talking Russia, 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 interference, interference, interference. Broward County, the way the setups in the elections with the computer system, they're just this. There's no way, there's no continuum line to get hacked in. There's no way for it to be hacked at any of the machines based on the setup. The only way it would get hacked would be when you send in all the information to a central database. At that point, it could be. But before that, the actual voting, no hacks. It's not the way it's set up. Is that correct?
I, That is correct. I mean, basically every machine's plugged in separately, and then they're tallied at the local precincts, and then that those precinct levels are tallied. But there's also the backup hard copy ballots right now still to double check them, and it isn't until it got into the major system that there's any chance for it to be hacked at all. And by that time, I mean, those systems are, you know, they have all the backup systems that they would always make sure that they balance to each other. So it would be really hard to hack the actual machine. And it's like, you know, last time when they said, oh, Russia was interfering with the election, I mean, in reality, the only way they were interfering with the election was posting things on Facebook against Hillary. So I don't know what they're really meaning. I mean, I guess that they did steal a lot of voter lists off of some of the SOE websites. I know that Illinois was one of those states. But what they could actually do with those stolen names, it's not like people are still voting independent of just the names. It's not like the names are linked to a system. So you're absolutely right. It would be very difficult still to hack the election through the machines, unless machines were just somehow preset by some, you know, really evil character who went in and preset them all to, like, vote, you know, for Joe Biden or whatever. So
that was another problem. They did a test last 2 years ago, and they did a dummy election, and there was a vote. There were like 10 people, and one of the things, they voted for one, and a couple of them came back for the other person, even though. So how would you, to protect the machine's integrity, how would you do another test like that to see if all the machines run properly?
Yeah, and from what I understand, they do a lot of that, like the week before the actual election, they go in and they test all the machines several times with several people doing it, and then they remain under lock and key and are closely watched for the time until they get to, you know, the actual precincts and the polling place. And I think that's exactly one of the things you have to continue to do to make sure that nobody just gets in there and, you know, fools around with it. Even you have to, like, watch the people who are the experts, right, the people who are actually programming the machines, because you never know. So you have to keep testing, I think, even after each one of them go in and touch something or change something to make sure that somebody else has tested it. So I think you have to have a really thorough process to make sure who can touch the machines and what happens and how, you know. I think you always have to have two people at least, you know, whenever you're testing the machines or even when you're transporting the machines, which is what I understand. I think that those are good policies to have in place.
When you hire a poll worker, a volunteer, or whatever they are, what is the process of getting each individual to be one, a poll worker?
Well, this is what I understand, just based upon talking to Mr. Antonacci. And it is, I think it is a challenge, and I think it's something that we need to look at how you change it. It's just the challenge is that you have a lot, usually you're short on poll workers, right? People don't volunteer like they should. And once they do volunteer, you are supposed to, you know, look into their backgrounds. And I think that there's some limited amount of looking into their backgrounds and seeing who they are and what they do. But I think that it's probably not as comprehensive as it should be. It's sort of like the pull and tug between I need to make sure I have enough people versus are these people good? And from what I understand, a lot of these people have done it for, you know, 30 years. And that's a good thing to some extent, because some of them are really good, patriotic people, and it could be a bad thing as well, because some of them know how to intimidate voters or whatever it is they might be doing. Yeah, rig the system. So I think that what we need to do is find ways to get new, younger people. I've even thought about, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could talk to all the high schools and have it so that the seniors get some credit or something like that if they come and they're like poll watchers on election day, if they're well-trained, et cetera, et cetera. It'd be a good experience for them. I mean, you know, if it would get them inside of the electoral process and maybe a little excited about voting and being a citizen and all of that kind of stuff. And there are other types of individuals that you could look at to try to get involved. I mean, maybe we could pull more on our accounting, our CPA organizations and say, you know, gee, you know, are there ways that you can get some kind of certification? Because they always have to continuing ed and stuff like that. Maybe there's a way we could work with those organizations that they get their continuing ed credit if they come in our poll watchers. We do have lawyers, I do know, that come and watch our poll watchers as well. But I think that we need to make it so that it's something that people are getting a benefit out of doing it, not by cheating or anything, but by, you know, like maybe they get their continuing education credits or whatever it is, just so that we have newer and fresher people that want to do it as well, and can, everybody can kind of be watching out for everybody else.
Not to discriminate, but if you're going to bring students in, make sure they're Republicans.
It would be great, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, when you go to school at 5 years old, you get indoctrinated. You know, the left is very good at what they do.
I agree. I agree.
Two last questions. One is to secure the voting for November 3rd, back on, you know, general election, as well as August 18th. What would you do to maintain security in case we get Antifa or Black Lives Matter trying to intimidate?
Well, I'm a big supporter of the police department. So obviously that's the first place you would turn to help them, help you if they need to patrol the different locations or whatever. I'm a little more afraid that the issues will come up after the election, depending upon the results. If the Republicans, I think, win some of the elections, I think that there's more likelihood that Antifa is going to be angry then. But, you know, we'll have to see. But definitely, I think that it would be a good idea to actually have some police at different locations, especially depending on where they are and where they think they are. I mean, the problem is the Antifa may be threatening the people in the districts that you wouldn't think that you would think they might be voting more Republican. That might be where they're trying to influence people. So I think that that's a really good question. I think that they really need to think about that and have maybe some police at least readily available, if not actually outside of the building.
I know people from experience that they're going to see they are starting to fight back. Look at Sturgis, look at elsewhere. People are starting to fight back. I think there's a number of candidates out there that's going to provide their own security to make sure that people actually vote.
That's good.
Without any intimidations. The other one is because we're getting close to our half-hour break, and we have another guest coming on after that. Can you give us your website and where to reach you and how to volunteer to help you?
Sure. Thanks so much for asking. Yes, definitely. We need that too. My website is www.cmcbreen.com. And on Facebook, it's the same thing. Catherine McBreen for Supervisor of Elections. And the same thing on Twitter as well. And I would love it if everybody would come to my website and find out more about who I am, my background, and also donations are important because we don't get any money from the Republican Party.
Do you have a primary opponent, or are you just pretty clear to November?
I'm clear. Nobody will see me on the ballot till November 3rd. So. I'm unopposed to the Republican.
That's a good thing. I think Mike Essen wants to ask you a question. Mike?
I'm just waiting for my turn to be on the air, but I'm wish
you
welcome.
Okay. You have any questions for Catherine?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wish you well.
All right.
Thank you.
Catherine, I want to thank you for coming on. You will be on again on our show as we get closer to November, because this is very important. We need integrity and honesty in the elections here in Broward County, and we can't afford to have a second Brenda Snipes in that office. So we need
you. I agree.
And you're going to win. And we're going to get you on maybe a couple times to make sure, okay?
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. God bless you, and you're going to win.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, that was Catherine McBreen. She is running for Supervisor for Elections. She is great. She knows her thing. And before I put Mike on, she came from Chicago. She knows what it is to be in a city with corruption. in elections.
Cook County,
Cook County is one of the most corrupt counties in elections.
I don't know,
Joseph.
In
the history of this country.
This one,
going back
I don't know.
Days.
Broward County is pretty good.
So I'm telling you, she's good, and she'll find it, and she'll clean the mess up.
Yeah,
now,
she will. She'll
we
win.
We got somebody unique on the phone. That's here as a guest here. He is South Florida's conservative radio talk show host and my friend, Mike Essen. How you doing, Mike?
Great, Joe. It's great, Scarlett. Great to be on your program. I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to tell you, she's got a handful. She's clean all the way to November, which is a good thing. So right now she could actually continue her going right through and go after anyone that all the Democrats in America, they got a primary.
Anybody there you
yeah,
see winning the right. Winning the thing on the primary? Anybody stand out on the Democrat side?
I think
Mitch Caesar will be your toughest opponent because he has all the DWS support. He has all the establishment Democrats behind him, which is, and face it, Democrats, there's more independent, as many independents as Republicans in Broward, so we got to be realistic. But I think people are fed up with Brenda Snipes. Catherine has a better chance because of that, but we can't underestimate the gerrymandering of the district.
I don't think they're going to come out to vote. I think Trump took the election yesterday.
I want to tell you something. According to both Tom Lauder and to people that I know that voted today and yesterday, there are not many people going out to vote in the primaries the first 2 days of early voting.
That really is disappointing because so many of these elections are determined by a strong primary opponent. And, like Jesse Melton will be Ted Deutch's toughest opponent, or else he wouldn't be going after her the way he is. If it was somebody who was Jim Pruden, who I don't know much about, and very few people do, the Jesse supporters could sit down, the Jim supporters could go in circles. I mean, the primaries are crucial. That's why it's important to register as a Democrat or Republican. I mean, and registering as independent in this state really doesn't do you any good in that sense.
I'll tell you, you know, as far as Jesse, I heard that there's a lot of enthusiasm with Jesse's people, and they're going out there. I know Darlene Swapa is still going to Corners and gone to the Lobster Fest thing in Jupiter today. Jesse's been campaigning at the polling areas, so that's the difference.
That's a huge difference. The polling areas where it really counts.
Yeah,
that's really neat.
That's
she has a wonderful personality as well.
She's
and a wonderful plan,
and
she's too conservative.
And she's energetic, and she's cosmetic, and I call her the second coming around the Rousey. She's a fighter. And Ted Deutch is scared of her, point blank. Because he's already been doing mailers attacking her before she even wins the primary. And that shows a threat for him. He never did that before.
No, never. I mean, even during Nicholas Camassa's case, not even during so many others he's had. He's been a surefire winner, and now he says sit back, relax, and enjoy the action. Now he's fighting like a pit bull because he knows something's up.
Yeah, he sees the thing. And what happened yesterday, and this is what Scarlett was talking about, what happened yesterday with President Trump doing his executive orders back this whole weekend, starting with Thursday, Friday, and then yesterday, he basically won the election. Now, he actually gave everyone a little bit of something. And that makes it very difficult for any Democrat. If they go against what he did, they all lose. Because it shows that they're not for the people.
Not at all. I mean, and all this time, Joe, ever since he has taken office in these last 3.5 years, their only objective is to hurt him, even if it hurts the American people. You see that holding up the stimulus. And they, even if it backfires on them, they seem to not even care because all they want to do is get Trump, sort of like the one-mind robotic train thought. And right now, he's passing bills that are helping every American, either middle class, wealthy, and poor, to a severe degree. And I just think he's going to hurt the Democrats badly.
He covered the rainbow yesterday.
He did quite well. He made sure he covered all the areas that needed help.
So, you know, he executive order things. He said, "I'm a Republican, but I'm doing this for the people, and this is what we're going to do." And it might irk some, like, you do know that the Democrats wanted the federal tax cut, payroll cut, long before Trump did it. In fact, both Biden and Obama wanted to do it back in 2011. And,
that is correct.
And Biden said that the question was, "Was going to hurt Social Security?" No, it's not. And because every time people buy things, it's taxed on it. The point is that with slow,
FICA still comes
thing,
out of your paycheck, and so does
Social Security.
All you're
right
not
going to
do is be taxed on the federal level out of your check. That is it.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anything. In fact, we're making money. If you heard him speak yesterday, we're selling stuff to help the world. That he's not giving it for free. Okay?
Yeah,
what people have to understand is that Democrats always contradict themselves, and they don't care. And they'll deny they said it, even if it's on tape, it's that bizarre. And if you cure cancer, you cured SARS, cured AIDS, and cured the coronavirus, they say he either didn't do it or didn't do it soon enough. I mean, it's clear they don't care about the Americans he helps. They just care about hurting him.
That's it.
Oh, that's so true.
And he did, and they attacked him on the executive order on the covering pre-existing conditions. What they said Obamacare. No, it didn't. First of all, the Obamacare only covers some pre-existing conditions, not all. Cancers and
other
cancers was not covered.
They actually ended up costing more. Correct.
It actually costs more if you have cancers and diabetes and stuff. It didn't cover a lot of things. What Trump did covered it all now. That's the difference.
And that really is crucial, Joe, for two reasons. First of all, it's crucial because it's the right thing to do. And it could put a nail in the coffin of this train wreck called Obamacare for the next Congress to come, because first he obliterated the individual mandate, a great idea. Nobody should be punished for not having enough to buy insurance. Second of all, people with pre-existing conditions should be taken care of. And if you could do it without socializing the whole medical industry and having people not be able to choose their doctors, losing insurance, and so forth.
The other thing he did was executive order on with the VA to help people, military who are going blind in both eyes. That's the first. He extended, basically now covered everything in the military pretty much, physical, mentally, psychological. He also expanded for people with mental health in the last few days, working in the mental health industry.
Yeah, it's really wonderful he's doing all this. Go ahead, Joe, sorry.
He's doing it through mostly executive orders because Congress, all they care, the Democrats, all they care, and some Republicans, all they care was to obstruct. Right now,
he truly,
deeply loves
people, and he loves this country. And it's thriving. The market's coming back. Unemployment has slashed down half of it. And there are still fields of endeavor that have not opened up as yet. They haven't. And people are not working. Okay?
So he's throwing his best to work that out.
And it's not their fault.
Not at all. I want to point out that the executive orders are pretty much all he can do now, because the Republican Senate really isn't very conservative when you think about it. I mean, you have Murkowski, Collins, and Romney, who are liberals. They're not even moderates. And Rubio sometimes, you know, so we don't have much of a majority even. Rubio, McConnell, Graham, they are moderate. They are moderates. So a lot of people are very waverly on the president. Even I think the House Republicans are a lot better. So if he has to do it through executive order, it's not going to get done. And he's one man who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. Who knows
not
how to get
them
done.
Ben Sasse was bitching about it.
He's a senator, not
I
a congressman.
I saw it.
Yeah.
So,
There are people that are still looking for a balanced budget, but this is the wrong time to worry about balanced budget. I'm one of the old timers that agree that we do need a balanced budget amendment somewhere down the line. But right now, because of what's going on and the way things are, we're in like a wartime footing, so we need to break away from that and then come back to it at a later date. But right now, we need the gas to put in the energy and the ignition, so the train that could to finish up to coming on top of that hill. And that's
how,
what we're doing.
How about
and,
that thing on eviction? You cannot evict anybody and put them on the street. How about that?
I want to address something that Joe was saying. I agree about balanced budget amendments, but a lot of people who are opposing, I'm going to say something a little controversial, nothing racy, don't worry about that kind of person, that it'll increase the deficits. You know, people say that a lot of times. I'm the only person I know who doesn't have problems with big deficits or big debts, because I've been hearing ever since the 20s, they've been saying it's going to bankrupt our children and grandchildren. Guess what? We're still standing. Clinton had a small deficit. He had a horrible economy at the end. We had the greatest economy in the world. We were $22 million in debt. I think the concerns about deficits are paranoid and overrated.
I don't mean to interrupt you about Bill Clinton, but he did some really hanky-panky shit to do that.
He fucked around with it.
Excuse my language.
That's okay. It's your show. But
okay.
I think that's true. But the point is, deficits are not – I don't think the debt or deficit is – I think the concerns about it are way overly stated by a lot of people.
That's the reason why you have so many little people bugging on some things on the ultra right, is because of the balanced budget and our debt. That's where people like the Rand Paul or Sachs or Mike Lee or those people. They come around.
Right. They voted against the border wall for that reason. And it's more important to protect our country than their theory that's never been proven.
Are you aware that our deficit did come down before this crap began with the COVID? It came down $2 trillion. You know that, right?
I do know that, but I think the deficit is an overrated issue.
It is.
It
but
is.
Trump had such success with what he's doing that goes to show he knows what he's doing.
He knows completely. I mean, you know the numbers with the economy. I mean, and in June, July went through the roof. If anybody, he is the right man for this country now. Like Ronald Reagan was in the 80s, he is in the 2020s.
I want to keep him forever.
Then we got to get rid of Kermit in the house.
Yeah, he,
I'm
he's
sorry.
Got, he,
I want Rose,
he has
him
a co-
to be like Roosevelt.
Yeah. He has a video where he's around for 100 years. I think he made the media go crazy with that. What's great about him is that he knows how to pick his point to fight. He's a great counterpuncher. And he knows how to just leave that flat, like yesterday when that reporter starts asking him about the legality of this, and he just walks off. And made her look like an idiot.
They were buzzing about the VA. They were goofy.
Now, but the VA is what they don't. That's what
they do. What they didn't know and understand is that they actually, like I told you, that this was coming, but I didn't know what day. And the reason why I knew it was coming is because of my insight. But the thing is, the delay of it is that they went to make sure that everything is within the guidelines legally, so there won't be any fight by the Democrats. And what they found out is that under the DACA ruling that Obama did, and then reaffirmed by John Roberts just a few weeks ago, gave all the legal means for Trump to do what he did yesterday. And there's nothing they can do to stop it.
how would
been
approved
by
exactly.
SCOTUS. It was
Mike,
approved
I'm
by SCOTUS.
Mike, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead,
on COVID-19, do you think it's just a cold now and the left is playing plandemic?
Partially. Let me explain to you what I mean. Herman Cain did die of it. There are people who do die of these things, but it's less than 1% of the people who were infected. I think what the left is doing is trying to shut down, it has shut down the country. I think Trump's gone along with it too, and I think it's one of the few mistakes he's made as president with shutting down the country. I'm not going to defend everything he does, he's not God. But they are. But if you look at the states that have stringent rules and want to keep it shut, it's Fauci, it's Whitmer, it's all these people. So, and right after the election, if Biden won, I think they'd be much more for opening it. And they're using this as an excuse to hurt the economy to get Biden in there. So, yes, one-word answer, yes, but with precautions.
The other thing is, by the way, the economy is already boomed back, so they can't really use the economy anymore. And they know
they
it. Stock
that.
Market's record territory. unemployment is dropping fast. We went from 20 now to 10, and we expect to be under around 9 come after this month. And then you got this the fall hirings for Christmas and the holidays, and you're going to see it go all the way down to 4 or 5% by election day. The thing is, everybody's trying to know. They look at what they did in Jupiter today. They actually had an event with Roger Stone and stuff in Jupiter, Matt Gaetz. There were no social distancing and there were no masks. And there were 8 at a table and nobody sick. Look at Sturgis. Thousands and thousands of people, no one sick, no mask.
250,000 bikers.
And that's all week. And everything is good.
Masks have not really proven
to be effective. No Antifa and no BLM.
Did you know South Dakota didn't even close?
Good for them.
She kept everything open.
That was the right move to make. You know, I want to talk about that philosophical question because we are a free country. This violates the First Amendment, the freedom of assembly. The Third Amendment, the don't be held in close quarters. And it also violates the 13th Clause of the Constitution. And
yes.
I equivocated on my show a lot, Joe and Scarlett. Joe's heard this, and Charles Scarlett, you might have too. Yes, it will save lives. Well, it hasn't, but if the police read our mail, it's going to save lives and crime will go down, but we have a constitutional right. People might die more, but that's the price we pay for the republic we live in. And I might.
I don't think they should have shut down anything. People are not stupid.
I agree with you. Well, I don't know about that. Sometimes they elect Obama a couple times, but I think American people are mixed in that area. But they have a right. Those who want to protect their lives, stay at home. Those who want to go out and businesses should thrive and keep the economy going and go to the movies, go to the parks, go to the bars, go to the gyms. Let them. This is a communist country.
I know someone who does business here. Because they said the virus is back, ran away and ran to New York.
And then got hit by a hurricane.
And now,
by the way, talking about New York, it's a $10,000 fine if you resist. If you come from Florida or any other state and you go to New York and you don't quarantine yourself, they can charge you $10,000.
That's
the NRA. I mean, that's from de Blasio. That's from Cuomo. New York's become a whorehouse of a communist state right now, and I mean that. I'm not exaggerating.
Hell's kitchen.
No, you're not. There's a BLM leader, Black Lives Matter leader, that actually assaulted a cop, and they released him today, and the cop said, that's enough. We're walking out. So it looks like New York City is not going to have any police. The NYPD is
and no
striking
garbage
on
pickup
them.
Either.
So you're on your own.
Joe,
they're acting just like Michigan and Minnesota.
Well, if you look how communist countries begin, it's by tearing down statues, defunding the police, you know, free this, free that, all the promises Bernie Sanders and AOC make. And I'm debating somebody on gun control in a couple of weeks on my show, and one of the things I can't fathom is the same people who want to disband the police, want to take away semi-autos, which are skyrocketing like crazy. I don't understand the opposition for them now. And what are you going to do when someone comes to your house? Call the Avengers? This is ridiculous. I mean, I never.
Everybody should own a gun. Everybody should own a gun, Mike. The bad
unless
people
you're,
get them
you're a fe-
in one way or another,
if you're a
felon, and the good people
true,
should
you're
have
convicted,
them.
Well, it's I don't know about should. I mean, some people with mental capacities aren't allowed by the courts. I can understand
okay.
that. With mental
but I mean,
illnesses.
The
yeah.
majority
if you have a mental
all
issue, I don't think you should.
Twisted in
if,
the head.
If you have a mental issue, bipolar or something, or schizophrenia, something like that, where a personality turns, I don't think you should own a weapon because you never know.
No.
Okay, what happens if somebody rips
has
your
fire.
Home
hold a second.
And you're not protected?
No, I agree with Coach Scarlett. No. We are beyond the same team. I'm a light patron member of the NRA. I support right to carry. I oppose background checks that do nothing. 98%, 92% of the people who buy guns, all these guns, are on the streets. And by the way, we had a gun ban of assault weapons from 1994 to 2004, and you said it failed DOJ of the Clinton administration. It wasn't me, it was them. So this great social experiment was a colossal failure. So we tried
it's Jack Taliban.
That's right.
It was Hillary that did it.
It was her.
Okay, before, because we're getting close towards the end of the show, I want you to, we're going to do a quick rundown on who you predict for the primary. We go from 20 straight down the line. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, CD20. Do you think Michael
White
is going to win?
Yeah.
21.
Loomer.
22. Like I already know.
No.
23.
Spalding in a heartbeat.
24.
Laverne Spicer's unopposed, so she's going to win easily. Mario Diaz-Balart already
okay.
won 25.
All right, 26 and 27. Do you know those two?
I knew them very well. Unfortunately, I think Jimenez and Salazar will, but I hope they don't. But I have to be honest.
Okay.
I'm honest, man.
Now, Broward County Sheriff.
Wayne Clark in the Republican race and Tony in the Democrat side.
Tony's getting hit pretty hard by a lot. Right now, Tony, based on the forums that I've seen and stuff, Tony and Israel are both very damaged.
I used to be anti-Israel vote. Yeah, I think it's a tough race, but you say anti-Israel vote, I think it's going to come in very strongly, and that's just, it's between Tony and Israel, but I think Tony it'll be Tony versus Clark.
Whoever wins the Democratic primary and sheriff will lose to Clark. The last two forums I saw, and this is including the Urban League, they all gravitated to Clark. They do not like people that are born with blood on their hands. A drug dealer with Tony, who killed an 18-year-old on a bad drug deal and lied about it, and then lied that he was a drug addict to begin with, and tried again, even though he was an LSD user, and he lied about that. That disqualifies him. Of course, Israel with the Promise Program and 17 people killed and all that. Pollock is a phony colonel. He never went up the ranks, and he's under investigation. San Diego,
did you know that Tony Gregory or whatever his name is, he did something with his wife in the office. know, he did something very corrupt.
He did quick pro quo. His wife hired some of the deputies as a second job, and by doing that, he moved these deputies up the ranks a little bit.
The sad thing is, Democrats get away with it, conservatives, Republicans don't in this country. We don't have as much freedom as they do to get to even do the honest thing rather than dishonest things.
And lastly, how many states do you think Trump is going to win after yesterday?
40.
I think he's going to win 45, maybe all 50. It depends on how much fed up the people in some of these states are. New York, they're literally having caravans leaving the city and the state as Cuomo's trying to buy them off with dinner and drinks, literally.
Do you think that there will be a debate?
Yes. I think Jill Biden will have the final say on that. And when they debate, it'll be worse than when Chicago beat Washington 1940, 73-0. It'll be an absolute embarrassment for Biden, and we'll love it.
What do you think about Susan Rice's VP?
All the VP choices, including Susan Rice, are an embarrassment. They're worse than Biden, and that's one of the reasons I think it's going to hurt him, because they're all have baggage, and they're waiting to expose him and his VP, whoever it may be. Believe me,
Biden are controlling the situation.
Yes.
Benghazi is going to be a big issue when that comes up, if that happens.
You think that she'll show up for it?
Well, that's,
I don't
think
know.
Hillary's going to show up to be questioned?
In September.
Yeah.
She has a trial there.
I think if court orders, he will, because if he doesn't, it'll look worse for him, but he's not going to want to.
Anyway, we're down to less than 3 minutes. I want to thank you, Mike, for coming on.
Hold it. Mike, tell everybody where they can find you, where, when, and what time, and what you do.
Sure. I'm on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 4 o'clock. I'm on blogtalkradio.com/MikeEssen show. I've had guests like Oliver North, Marco Rubio. I debated Gloria Allred. I've had top-notch guests on, maybe some more. I'm having Laverne Spicer on tomorrow, who's Frederica Wilson's opponent in District 24. Please tune into that. Be there.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael, for coming on.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you, Scarlett. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're coming down to the show.
I just want to say thank you. God bless America. Take care. See you on Wednesday. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Talk to you later. Have a great day. And ladies and gentlemen, God bless you all. Get out there, vote, early voting. It's important. And God bless America. And we love you all. God bless you.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the